I don't think parenting gets any easier. Just to discourage you a bit there. I think parenting, when your kids are little, takes more time. But as they get older, especially when they get into their 20s and 30s, the problems of life become more complex. So it takes on a different, parenting takes on a different form. But anyway, we could, I could waffle on there for a while, but I won't. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Being a personal trainer. Ephesians chapter 6. And I suppose we should read from verse 1. So before we get to that, let's not talk to the... Well, this is not for the younger ones here. This is for some of the older ones, whether you're a dad or not. We all have dads or had dads. What was the best thing about your dad? Not the younger ones, okay? Someone that's over past the teenage years. What's the best thing about your dad? Anyone? Yes, brother.
Being a disciplinarian.
Disciplinarian, okay.
I didn't like it at the time, but looking back,
I'm sorry. I know I did, even though... I said my mum was a disciplinarian because I didn't have a dad. But no, thank you. Good. Thank you. That's I've heard that comment before. That's, yes, Michael.
My dad is very
affectionate. Affectionate? Okay. Very good. Amen. Someone else? Yes. Bill. His love and example. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Burns. He's a hard worker. Okay. Very good. Yes, Alan. One more. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. And you know, before you know, and again, I'm not speaking from experience here, but from what I've been told, I mean, I'm 56, I'm still a young fella, but you know, it's not long, and your dads are gone. And I'm sure some of you here, your dads aren't around anymore, and it's good. It's good to remember them. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want us to focus on the second part of that verse for the next few minutes, and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, and bless our time as we look at some verses from your word, and teach us and train us, we pray now. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word nurture there is very interesting. Bring them up in the nurture. The word nurture is the word paiduo, where we get pediatrics from. And it means just that. It means training children, to do with children. And then very interesting, the word there, admonition. Admonition is the word nous, in the US. What does nous mean?
Common sense.
Common sense? Yeah. If you're using your nous, what are you using? You're using your mind. Yeah, your brain. That some of us use to varying degrees. So what it's saying here, don't provoke your children. Don't let them be exasperated and get angry. But bring them up or nurture them. Train your children in the admonition, or we could put there the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord. So how might we train our kids according to the mind of the Lord? you can write these verses down. Deuteronomy 6. And we're going to turn to a few verses here in a minute. But you don't have to turn there. Let me read these verses to you. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, dads, we need to be the trainers of our kids. Because if we don't train our kids, if we are not their personal trainers, if we are not their teachers, someone else will. You know, if you create a vacuum, something will come into that. That's why we need to be, what's the fancy word now, proactive? Proactive, is that the modern word? Positive, proactive? What did you say? Who said passive the other day? Someone said passive. What's the opposite to passive? Active. We need to be active. We need to be proactive in training our kids, because if we don't train them, someone else will. And usually that'll be someone or something that's not good. You know, I heard a father once, and we've often heard people say this, in fact, it was a neighbour of a pastor when I was pastoring in Sydney back in the mid-80s, well over 30 years ago. And this fellow used to come to church a bit, but he let his teenage sons take a trip into King's Cross. He said, I want them to find out what the world is about for themselves so they can make up their own mind. I'm thinking, what? You are a dope. Actually, you can't use the word dope now because it doesn't mean what it used to mean. You are an imbecile, yeah, a nong. I mean, you can't do that. If you don't train your kids, someone else will train them. Oh, I'll just let my kids make up their own mind. It doesn't work. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Kids are foolish, and that's why kids run out in the road. Why? Because they're kids. They don't know. They have to be trained. Hey, listen, don't run on the road. We're not trying to be mean. We're trying to save your life. Yeah, don't play with the carving knife in the kitchen. It's really shiny. It looks nice, but don't play with it because you will cut your hand off. Don't play with the stove. Don't put it like I did as a five-year-old. Put my hand on the stove to see whether it was working or not. It burnt my hand. There's no one around at the time to tell me. That's dumb. But we need to train our kids. Because if we don't, someone else will. All right, I've got 9 points. Let's run through them. And then Pastor said, well, I'll be done by 12, very much before 12. Let's see how my voice holds out. We might be done in just a couple of minutes. I don't know. Number one, teach them to respect their mother through your example. Teach them to respect their mother through your example. If you got your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. I'll read the verse anyway. Colossians 3 and verse 19. As we said in the last session, most probably the best thing that a husband can do, that a father can do for his kids, is to love the mother. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What's it saying there? Well, obviously, again, that's a whole series to how we are to love how I'm to love my wife. But we're not to be bitter against them, or not to treat them harshly. I often use the illustration of, if your wife might have a fine china dinner setting, and she's got Tupperware as well. So what do you do with the Tupperware? You just throw it in the back of the cupboard. You can't destroy Tupperware. It's indestructible. I mean, you could put off a nuclear explosion. You will not destroy Tupperware. That stuff is bomb-proof. So you can just do it, throw it wherever you want. But you imagine doing that to your great-grandmother's fine china. But I'm not even allowed to touch it, you know. I feel that way. No, I better look after that stuff. But with our wives, with your wife, we need to treat them like fine china, not Tupperware. So don't be bitter against them. And you see, as we said before, your kids know what's going on. They know how you treat your wife. They know how you treat your wife. And they can sense that, whether, you know, and that's why it's so sad in this day and age that and I'm sure there's many in here. You've gone through marriage breakups and this sort of thing. And it's sad, and you know, I empathise with you. I can't sympathise with you, but I can empathise with you on that, as how difficult it must be in a home like that. But my point is that the kids see what's going on. So if you are in a relationship where there's mum and dad, as I said, I grew up in a single parent home. A lot of kids do. That's the lot the world we live in. But ideally, if there's mum and dad there, treat your wives as the Bible says, love them and treat them well. Secondly, teach your kids to respect authority. Teach your kids to respect authority. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And there's so much of the Bible that teaches on this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. What? Let me read that again. Submit yourself to how many ordinances? Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. But you say, what if the prime minister or the king or the leader, what if they're an absolute dropkick? Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And then, again, there's a lot of other references in the Bible to pray for those in authority. Yeah, but what if I don't like them? Doesn't matter. What if they are anti-God? Doesn't matter. We still need to respect them. You know, when Paul and Peter and these people wrote these things, they were in what was called the Roman Empire. And you think it's hard for Christians now. We've got it easy. Back in those days, those Roman emperors and just the whole political atmosphere was very anti-Christian. And the immorality and the world was out there. Blatant, out, far worse than it is today, I reckon, at least in some respects. But Paul said, and Peter said, no, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We need to train our kids to respect authority. And that's in all spheres of life. And again, we need to respect authority. That's how we train them. We respect authority. Whether it's in the church, whether it's in government, whether it's at school. My wife has just finished about 15 years working at our school. She's not trained as a teacher, just a teacher's aide. And she's done, you know, a day or two a week for a lot of years, just basically helped out in the school. But even Christian families, sometimes there's not much respect for teachers. And there should be respect for teachers. Because, see, when a kid comes in and doesn't respect the teacher, where does he get that from? He gets it from the home. You say, but what if the teachers aren't perfect? Well, we're most probably not perfect. That's my guess. So the teachers are most probably doing the best they can. You say, could they be better? Yeah, most probably. But they've got a position of authority. So we need to respect that. I have to work hard on this because I don't like paying council rates, especially the Coffs Harbour City Council. Because I see them as robbers. But guess what? That's the law. I've got to submit myself to every ordinance of the land. Because that's what God, every ordinance, because that's what God says to do. And I have to keep telling myself I need to stop complaining about this. Because I find it easy to do. If we roast the pastor, or we roast the teacher, or we roast the prime minister, or whatever, as adults, especially as dads, that filters down to the kids. And what we're doing is we're sowing the seeds of rebellion. And God hates rebellion. He hates it. We need to go back to the Bible and figure out, what does the Bible tell us about authority? Yes, we need to respect authority. We need to pray. And we've preached on this many times, you know, Canberra Connection and so on. Pray for those in authority over us. Okay, number three. Teach them to work hard. Teach them to work hard. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your hands. We need to teach our kids to work hard. You know, and again, my family, we're just average, common old garden Aussies. Nothing spectacular. We've never done anything particularly great. I wanted to play for the Rabbitohs, but I wasn't good enough, wasn't fast enough. I was the slowest second rower in the history of the game. And so I had to shelve that great aspiration to play for the Bunnies. But I haven't, I'm just average. But, you know, my kids, and they've got their, my kids are sinners. They've got their problems because they're related to me. I understand that. I'm guilty. But I've always told my kids, you need to work hard. And if you work hard, really hard, you'll always have a job. My kids have always had a job. There's never been a time when they haven't had a job. Normally, they're offered many more jobs than they can handle. You know, usually, if you want a job for someone, you'll give it to someone who's already working. We need to teach our kids to work hard. I know not all of life is work. There's got to be some play. There's got to be some relaxation. But we need to teach our kids, when they're little, just little bits at a time, and as they get older, we teach them more and more to work hard. And there'll always be a job for those that work hard. We need to teach this to our children. I mean, how many kids do I know of? You know, young adults can't get a job. Well, they can get a job, but they don't want a job. And young adults that are 29 years of age living at home. What? I want to go up and go slap. I shouldn't do that. But I just want to slap them and say, listen, go and get a job. Yeah, but it's just a job working at Macca's. Well, it's a job. Any job, just about, is a good job. You say, but it doesn't pay very much. Who said anything about pay? You don't have to get paid. You just need to work. God made us to work. Now, if you get paid, that's a bonus, okay? That's really good, and I'm all for it. I taught my kids, you just go and do the job. And even if you don't get paid, that's fine. No one can say they can't get a job. No one. So, I've tried for months, can't get a job. Well, go up and down the street and do some gardening, mowing. You don't have to get paid for it. It's just a job. And isn't it funny that when you start doing those jobs, the work then comes to meet you? Before long, then you don't know which jobs to do. You've got so many to do. Teach your kids to work hard. Teach them, this is really good. Teach number four, as a personal trainer, bringing our children up in the mind of the Lord, we need to teach them needed life skills. Needed life skills. Now, I really like this verse. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Proverbs is a really practical book. Proverbs 24, verse 27. This is what it says. Prepare thy work without. In other words, out there, whatever your work is, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterwards build thine house. What's the writer here of Proverbs saying? Now in those days, your work was out in the paddock. If you didn't make your food, you starved. It was most probably subsistence life where you grew your own food, your own crops, your own animals. And you might have sold a little bit on the side. But what it's saying here, listen, go and get your work settled down first. Get your, whether it's a career, whatever. And then once you've got all that figured out, then go and build a house. Oftentimes now, because we've got easy credit, well, it's maybe not so easy this year, but, you know, over the last however many years it's been easy to get credit, we put things upside down. We want to spend everything first, then we'll work later. But the Bible says, no, this is a life skill. Prepare your work out there. Get everything sorted, then build yourself a nice, comfortable little house or whatever. But we can just broaden that out. Life skills. You know, kids today have no table manners. They have very little courtesy, not much of a work ethic. A lot of them are not clean. They don't have clean habits. They're not willing to share. They're not willing to pay their bills. They're not willing to save. They're not willing to give. And these all come from not being taught basic life skills. So as dads, that's our job. That's our job. You say, but I wasn't taught those things. Well, you can change. You can change. Not everyone had a beautiful upbringing. Some of us did it the hard way. That's fine. I remember when my mum eventually met who's now my stepdad, at Missionary Training College, north of Newcastle. We moved there when I was 10 or 9, actually, and went to Missionary Training College. And they were old school. And I remember sitting down at this great big old grand dining table. And you had all the separate tables, and you had the main table, and then you had the serviettes in the little holders, and then you weren't allowed to sit down until the head table sat down. And the head table couldn't sit down until the head of the head table sat down. And then the head of the table sat down, that table sat down, and then your head table sat down, then everyone else sat down, and then, well, I'd never been taught this stuff. and I'm not having out my mum, but we never taught that stuff. And I'm not, it's most probably, what's the word? We're not going to use that now. Well, maybe at your place they do. I don't know what it's like at your place, Jeremy. Maybe you have, you know, head of the table with the silver setting, but most of us don't anymore. Well, I remember at the time it was a bit of a shock to the system because my brother and I, we didn't know anything. We were seen like, we were as heathens. We most probably were heathens. But we very quickly learned if we wanted to get fed, we had better learn a few table manners. But teach them life skills. Number five. And we've mentioned this several times already. Be a positive role model. Be a positive role model. Be a positive. Write that down very slowly while I blow my nose. Now, we've mentioned this before. More is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. In other words, you know, don't be a hypocrite. We need to be a positive role model. We looked last night at, very briefly, at King David. No wonder his kids failed. No wonder his kids failed, because he was a great man, King David. Like, he really was one of the great kings in world history. But he wasn't much of a role model. And no wonder his kids did what they did, because, I don't know. He just wasn't. And I'm not saying the kids are without, you know, they have to take responsibility for their actions. But David did not set a good role model for his children with all the problems he had in his life. And so he's, by and large, most of his kids failed. Point number six, teach your kids to honour older people. Teach them to honour older people. Let me read to you Leviticus 19:32. And this is what it says. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, you know, the silver head, maybe the bald head. Ross, the bald head. I can't talk, Ross. It's all right. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honour the face of the old man. Well, Ross is not an old man. He's a young man. And fear thy God. I am the Lord. Teach them to honour older people. I love old people. I really do. My kids reckon I'm old. My grandkids reckon I'm Methuselah. And I'm only 56. I mean, I'm not that old. Who's older than 56 here? One, two, three. That is really scary. Is anyone over 60? You're over 60. Wow. I don't feel too bad then. There's four older than me. See, I'm just a young man. I don't act like 56. I understand that. I act very childishly, and I do that deliberately, especially around my wife. We need to teach our kids to respect older people. You know, we're in New Zealand. I was preaching in New Zealand early this year, and in between meetings, Robin and I did a little scoot down the west coast, and we were there for a couple of weeks, and full of backpackers, Chinese tourists and backpackers by the thousands, and the nationality of backpackers that we came across the most were Germans, young German backpackers, you know, 19, 20, 21, 23. And what's the word? Unfailingly, every single one of those Germans was so polite. They were exceedingly polite. And I asked one of these fellas, and of course we would pick up, a number of times we would pick up, we had a little Suzuki Swift that we borrowed off a friend, and it was a little car, But we would still pick up hitchhikers when we could, cram them in. And we'd say, listen, mate, there's not much room here. Oh, no, we don't care. That's fine. In you go. But, of course, once they're stuck in there, then you can talk to them about the Lord, eh? They can't go anywhere. But I made it a point of speaking to German. We actually stayed at a backpacker's place one night, a couple of nights. We stayed there and, you have a community kitchen and so on. And we got talking to these people, really nice people. But they were, every one of them was very, very polite, especially to an adult like myself. And I said, look, this is in Australia now. People just aren't, young people are not, there's not much respect for older people. I said, why are Germans so respectful? He said, but we are taught that. Even now, we are taught to respect our elders. And still, there's a lot of places around the world. I imagine that's true in the Philippines. True in the Philippines? Anyone else from another part of the world here? What was it like in Queensland? I don't know about America. I haven't been to America for a while. But in Australia, there's not much respect out there for old people. Older people. We need to teach our children to be very respectful. In other words, you let older people go first. Irritates me on the buses. If you're on the bus or the train now and there's an older lady, I'll always say, ma'am, would you like my seat? Please come and have my seat. No one does it anymore. But normally they'd say, no, I don't want it. No, okay. Well, I've asked. I've tried. But we need to teach our children to honour, as the Bible says, the face of the old man and fear thy God. Point number 7. Make sure as we teach them in the mind of the Lord that they attend to their studies. That they attend to their studies. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, specifically, this is speaking about studying the Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I think we could broaden this out and say, kids need to learn to study. They need to learn to study. We live in a connected world where everything is at our fingertips now. And oftentimes we don't study because the information is there. But we need to study. We need to teach our kids. If we don't study ourselves, we need to study. Now, we're talking about the Bible here, but even as a student at school, study hard. Teach your kids to study hard. And there's nothing wrong with doing well at school. Now, if you're only just passing, well, that's fine. You may not be academic. Our son David was not academic. He got to the age of 15. Said, no, you can't stay in school. Go and get a job. And he's had a trade now for I don't know how many years. Got his own business and stuff. But we need to teach our children to attend to their studies. Point number 8, and I'm nearly finished before the next sneeze comes. And only the front row has to worry about my sneezes. Teach them through failures. Teach them through failures. I remember my youth leader back at Condell Park in the 70s was always saying this, no failure need be final. No failure need be final. We can't expect our kids to be perfect. One, because they aren't, and two, because we weren't. So we learn through our failures. There's a lot of Bible examples. Peter was a failure. How did Peter fail? Someone tell me. How did Peter fail? Yes. He denied the Lord. Yeah, he denied the Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, Satan's going to use you. And he says, no way. No way, not me. Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. Not me, Lord. No way in the world. No, Peter, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Peter learned from his failure. There's a heap of other people in the Bible. David learned from his failures. Noah failed pretty badly when he got drunk. Abraham, he's the father of faith. The father of faith, and yet he failed a number of times. Telling untruths. Or having a child with Hagar. Because he didn't believe that God could give him a descendant, a son. He said, oh, well, if God's not going to do this, yep, I better go and fix things up myself. Encouraged by his wife, Sarah. And that was the father of faith. Failure. He failed in the matter of faith. And yet he learned from that. So teach them through failures. Dads, we are very good at failing. Do you admit it? I'm an expert at failing. And I admit that. I'm really good at it. And I once built a doghouse for our dog in Sydney. It was an A-frame doghouse. It looked really, really good. The dog couldn't fit in it, but it was a great doghouse. So I'm a failure, eh? An absolute failure. But that's fine. We're all failures. And God uses failure. God uses failure. I'm not saying you should deliberately fail. but we do fail. We fall short. But we need to teach our kids that, hang on, all right, you failed in this area of life. You've done this, you've done whatever. But we're going to learn from this. We're going to learn. Last point this morning. And this is a big one. Don't give them everything. Don't give them everything. A huge mistake is to give your kids everything. And yet this is the philosophy. Well, I had to scrape through as a kid and as a young adult, so I don't want my kids to go through that. Why not? That's part of life. That's part of life. Everyone in this room, you may not think you're wealthy, but relatively speaking, compared to most of the world, we're wealthy. You come up to Thailand, come up to New Guinea, go to other parts of the world, and you'll see, even in some parts of America, you know, it's hard to live over there, some parts of America. They don't have the social security that we have here. And you know, relatively speaking, we are wealthy. And we think, well, I don't want my kids to have to scrape through. Well, it's actually good to learn to scrape through. Now, if you're filthy rich here, come and speak to me later, okay? I've got some ideas if you've got too much money. But no, seriously, there's nothing wrong with providing for your kids. I'm going to look at that hopefully tomorrow in our last message about how we provide for our family. And if we don't, that we're, the Bible says, worse than an infidel. But, you know, spoiling your kids, if you spoil your kids too much, now again, I know sometimes we spoil our kids. We now have a granddaughter. We've got 4 grandsons and now a granddaughter, and she sort of gets spoiled. And when I say spoiled, not in monetary terms, but we, I don't know, she's the little granddaughter and she does get spoiled. And in fact, actually, she gets spoiled with physical things, and her parents are very careful to keep some of that stuff away from her. But so when I say spoil, I don't mean little treats here and there, and that's fine. But if you spoil your kids and give them everything they want, you're going to handicap your kids. So don't do that. Yeah, the world doesn't work that way. That's not how the real world operates. You know, the world we go day by day, and that's how we live. We live day by day. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't save and all this, that's all good. But don't give your kids everything. They need to learn to wait. They need to learn to save. They need to learn, maybe, what's the word, to be frugal. That's a good life skill. Maybe we should put this up in point number 4. You just make it up yourself, however you want to do it. But don't give them everything. Oftentimes kids need to earn things. They need to earn things. Son David was 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age. He's a real go-getter, and he's always wanting stuff, a bike or a skateboard or a, what are those little red PlayStation things? What were those little, a Game Boy. He wanted a Game Boy. So you can have a Game Boy. All his friends had them. I said, all right, but you're going to work for it. So you need to go and get a paper run. So, of course, guess who had to get up at 5 o'clock every Tuesday morning to wrap the papers? Yeah, Dad or Mum. But anyway, we told him, mate, that's fine. You can have that, but you've got to work for it. So don't spoil your kids. At least don't spoil them too much. Don't give them everything, because that's all training them. We are personal trainers of our kids. If we don't train our children, someone else will. And dads, we need to give them the life skills. Maybe we never had those life skills when we were growing up. Well, that's fine. That's what friends are for. That's what camps like this are for. That's what church is for. And if you can read, there's books out there. There's tons of books on how to be a personal trainer to your kids. We're responsible for our kids. You know, we are responsible even above our... I know mum spends more time with the kids. That's the way it is. That's the mother's job. Well, that's normally the way it is anyway. But dads, we are responsible to train our kids. Not to make them exasperated, not to allow them to get angry, but to train our kids in the ways of the Lord. My throat's about had it, so we'll pray and we'll be done. Thank you, Lord, for what your word teaches us. There's so much more, Lord, we could learn from your word, but I pray that we'll be able to take maybe just something, Lord, that we could take to our homes and our marriages and our families and train our kids in the ways of the Lord. And bless the remainder of the camp to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, thank you.